I'm Christopher Springman, and this is Body Language. You know, I spoke with a physician friend the other day, a trauma specialist who works in the ER, the emergency room, and she was angry and frustrated and said to me, Chris, you know, we're in the wrong business. The sign outside of my ER should say, body shop. You know, bang up your body, no problem, bring it in and we'll fix it. She said, that's crazy. We instead should be in the prevention business because we know how, why, and where people get sick. So we should go to the source and stop it. I have a feeling my next guest will agree with me. Her name is Tina Rosenberg, author of Join the Club, How Peer Pressure Can Transform the World. And she wrote a fascinating article in the New York Times entitled, When Poverty Makes You Sick, A Lawyer Can Be the Cure. Tina Rosenberg, welcome to Body Language.
Thanks, Christopher. Nice to be here.
Would you agree with the observation of my physician friend in the ER that perhaps they should be a little more proactive when it comes to prevention themes?
I don't know that there would be anybody who is in any way associated with the practice of medicine who would disagree with her.
Would you be so kind as to read the startling paragraph that appears in your New York Times article?
Being poor can make you sick. Where you work, the air you breathe, the state of your housing, what you eat, your levels of stress, and your vulnerability to crime, injury, and discrimination all affect your health. These social determinants of health lie outside the reach of doctors and nurses.
But your article suggests that that reach, which is outside of a typical physician or nurse, is being expanded through the proactive efforts of hospitals and medical centers. What is that all about and why is it necessary?
Well, this is not a particularly new phenomenon. Hospitals have been hiring social workers and patient navigators for a while now because they know that it gives you better outcomes and fewer readmissions. But now they're starting to hire lawyers in a lot of places. The National Association for Medical Legal Partnership says that in 231 hospitals and clinics across the United States, they have set up partnerships with legal aid lawyers. And these people are helping their patients solve some of the problems that are keeping them sick.
Hospitals typically have enormous financial and political and, well, economic clout, especially because very often they are the largest business in town and the biggest employer with the most significant payroll. And I feel, and I'm hardly fair and balanced here, that they should really become far more engaged in the community because those folks in the ER, like my doctor colleague, know what's going on. They know where problems occur because they see the same folks over and over again.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I mean, one reason that hasn't happened is that until very recently, hospitals have very little financial incentive to do that. You know, fee-for-service medicine rewards the hospital for more emergency room admissions, not for fewer. But that is gradually changing. A lot of the hospitals and doctors are switching over to value-based medicine. I mean, they're being pushed there by payment reforms. For example, Medicare will now penalize you if you have poor measures on some safety things and high readmission rates. And I think more and more hospitals are going to be going in this direction, and that gives them an incentive to do things like help their patients get out of housing that is making them sick through mold or roaches or other structural problems. It's going to also encourage them to help patients make sure that they get the government benefits that they qualify for. For example, SNAP, nutritional benefits, so they can eat healthier food. I mean, that's a very big part of health.
You also mentioned in your article that at the point of admission, for example, at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, each patient's family is asked, do you have housing problems? Problems getting your benefits? Are you depressed? Are you unsafe in your relationship? Would you like to speak to a lawyer or social worker about any of these things? That's a very aggressive, proactive, and frankly, very sensible way at the point of intake to address people's core issues around causes.
Well, I think doctors are concerned about these things, but most doctors don't ask these questions because they can't do anything if the answers are yes. You know, what do you do in most places if your patient says, yes, I have these problems? The beauty of having this partnership with civil legal aid lawyers is that it allows you to do something about it. You can pass the case on to the lawyer who can, in most cases, this has nothing to do with litigation or lawsuits. In most cases, the lawyer just writes a letter to the landlord that has a lot more clout than if it came from a social worker or a doctor, and can get
Absolutely.
The problem solved. And can not only get the problem solved for that individual, but can often encourage the landlord to make changes that solve that problem for an entire building's worth of people.
Well, there's nothing like getting what is called a heart attack letter from a very assertive lawyer, part of a community-based law firm, for example, that is engaged in partnership or collaboration with a hospital in order to get the job done. And getting the job done is Tina Rosenberg, who authored an article in the New York Times entitled, When Poverty Makes You Sick, a Lawyer Can Be the Cure. You say in the article that Medicaid in New York is now, in some cases, paying for supportive housing.
Yes, that's right.
In fact, a WNYC radio story describes one formerly homeless woman now in a Medicaid apartment. You could treat her epilepsy until the cows come home, but without an appropriate place to live, she was going to be sick. Seems like a pretty sensible idea. What are your thoughts, Tina?
Well, this article is part of a weekly column that I write called Fixes, where we look at different solutions to social problems. And we do a lot of our stories on things like this, sort of ingenious, innovative, new ways to solve problems. Well, first of all, Medicaid paying for housing isn't something new, because Medicaid pays for nursing homes. In this case, the Medicaid folks in New York State made a decision that it would cost the state less money to pay for an apartment for this woman rather than pay for the tremendous health and legal and other bills that she incurs by living on the street. So it was a decision they made in the taxpayer's interest.
You quoted Dr. Robert Kahn, a pediatrician at Cincinnati Children's, as saying, so much of child health is a result of poor social and physical living conditions for kids, food on the table, shelter, and quality education. So much of what we do in pediatrics is driven by these broader well-being issues for the family. We do much better when we partner with groups that have that as a mission. This is an approach to prevention that hospitals are taking, which will not go away. In fact, your article suggests that it's a growing phenomenon. Is that correct?
I think as value-based medicine spreads, this will be a growing phenomenon. There is a big issue, though, in who is paying these legal aid lawyers. I mean, legal aid is a program that has been financially under siege since the Reagan administration. And as hospitals, though, decide that it's in their interest, their financial interest, as well as in their professional interest, to help people get better by removing some of the root causes of their illnesses, that more and more hospitals will start to employ lawyers this way.
Tina, where can people learn more about your work and perhaps your books?
Well, that's a great question, Christopher. Thank you for asking.
Well, thank you for not smoking.
The column in the New York Times, the column in the New York Times is called Fixes, and it's every week, and you can find it at nytimes.com/fixes. And my latest book is called Join the Club, How Peer Pressure Can Transform the World. And it's about the use of positive peer pressure to accomplish behavior change in situations where other strategies have not worked. But this strategy is also useful for many, many different things, from helping minority college students to learn calculus to even overthrowing a dictator. And the book is stories of these examples and what we can learn from them.
Tina Rosenberg wrote a wonderful article that we've been discussing that ran in the New York Times entitled, When Poverty Makes You Sick, a Lawyer Can Be the Cure. Tina, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
And thanks for the kind words about my wonderful voice.
Well, they're all true.